Okay, hi. Nuclear bombs. 10 minutes. Go. Right, we're going to talk about nuclear bombs today. We can't talk about nuclear bombs without talking about how they work. So we have to try and understand two different processes, fission and fusion. I'm going to try and explain both these processes. However, my background is in English literature, not in physics. So I'll do my best. Here we go. Fission first. Fission means splitting up of something. In this case, splitting up of an atom. What happens in nuclear fission is you get an unstable isotope, usually something like uranium-235. And what that is an atom that has the same number of protons, but a different number of neutrons. And they fire a neutron at that atom very, very fast. And when that neutron hits the atom, it makes it unstable, and the atom breaks into two halves. In the separation process, it releases a vast amount of energy. And also, it releases neutrons again, and those neutrons hit another atom, which split that up, and those neutrons hit another atom, and this keeps going. We have a cycle. It goes critical, okay? That's how a nuclear fission works. Nuclear fission is used in any nuclear power station, nuclear reactor. They use nuclear fission to produce energy. They use the energy to heat water. They use this resulting steam to drive a generator, which makes electricity, of course. The problem with nuclear fission is you get a leftover product. You get a lot of radioactive matter that's left behind, and that has to be stored. And it stays radioactive for tens of thousands of years, so they have to bury it in different places. A lot of problems with that. Fusion. Now, fusion means putting things together. If you fuse two things together, you put them together. So what happens in fusion is two separate elements merge to make another one. Okay? You have a low-mass isotope, something like hydrogen, which unite under very high pressure and a very high temperature. The sun makes its power, the sun makes its energy through nuclear fusion. On the sun, you have two materials, tritium and deuterium, which fuse together to make helium. When these two elements fuse together, they create a vast amount of energy. Nuclear fusion makes more energy than nuclear fission. There are also no byproducts. The sun has so much energy, so much material, that it's going to be doing nuclear fusion for the next 10 billion years. There are many problems with nuclear fusion. We can't actually do it yet because it has to be ignited under perfect conditions. It must be the perfect temperature, not too hot or not too cold. And it must have an ignition source, which is very difficult to do. We're going to talk about that in a little bit as well. One of the goals, of course, for the future is cold fusion, where you can make a fusion reaction happen without the heat. But we'll talk about that in a bit. Anyway, let's go back to fission. So, a man called Otto Hahn discovered nuclear fission in 1934. A lot of research put into that, of course, but as with anything, most of the research money came about when World War II started. A lot of developments in the world come about because of war, of course. The Manhattan Project, you've obviously heard of. 1942 to 1946, the Manhattan Project were a team of scientists, nuclear physicists and scientists and physicists from all over the world, united in America to basically create the first nuclear bomb, the first atom bomb. Okay, of course, the first bomb they made was a fission bomb, because fusion, even now, fusion is not a perfect science. So they made a fission bomb. What happens with a fission bomb is you have the bomb, and it doesn't hit the ground, of course, it explodes in the sky. An explosive fires uranium at high speed into the trigger. And of course, this sets off the neutrons firing, and this makes the uranium, or the plutonium, whatever is used, go supercritical. That means the chain reaction starts going and going and going, and this releases more and more and more energy, of course. The first atomic bombs, of course, were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I'm sure you know that. Those bombs were the equivalent of 18,000 tons of TNT. Okay. Now, when a nuclear bomb explodes, what happens? Well, of course, we have the shock wave. I mean, you're releasing all of this energy. There is a shock wave as it pushes the air through the sky. And this shock wave destroys, well, it kills within a certain region, and then it knocks down buildings, and it slowly dissipates. But the shock wave comes first. Then, of course, you have the heat. The heat from the blast in the center causes fires and, well, basically vaporizes things in that area. And then you have radiation. Nuclear fission, uranium is a very radioactive material, so after the explosion finishes, you are left with a lot of radiation fallout in the sky. And you also have an EMP. This is where an electromagnetic pulse, this is where neutrons fire out and they destroy circuitry. So a nuclear bomb these days would stop any computer or anything that uses a circuit in the area from working. So the first bomb dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we're not going to talk about why, that's a talk for a different day. That was a fission bomb, of course. Fission bombs were gradually improved, gradually made bigger and more powerful, until the most powerful fission bomb, it was called the Ivy King in 1952. This bomb was the equivalent of 500,000 tons of TNT. Now bear in mind that Hiroshima was 18,000 tons of TNT. We're already becoming much, much more powerful. We have bombs now that can destroy huge areas, not just one city. However, the problem with a fission bomb is you're limited by the amount of material you can carry. Because you can only use the material you have, the atoms split, you need atoms. The more atoms you have, the more powerful it can be, but you're limited by the amount of plutonium you can put on one of these bombs. So, of course, we need to improve. If you look through the history of our world, we're always trying to find new and better weapons. So, what they came up with next is a fusion bomb. Now, we talked about the fusion process. With fusion, you need a huge amount of heat to start the fusion reaction going. Now, how do you get that with a nuclear bomb? The only way they know to do it is to attach another nuclear bomb to the nuclear bomb. So basically what happens is you have a regular fission bomb, and in the middle of that you have a fusion bomb. So when the bomb is dropped, it reaches its specific height and the fission bomb ignites the same way as a regular fission bomb. It ignites. And what that does, of course, is it creates a huge amount of energy, a huge amount of pressure and a huge amount of heat, and it heats a plastic inner core, which melts and becomes a liquid plasma. And at the bottom of the bomb, you have the fusion material surrounded by plutonium, the fission material. And this melted plastic causes another fission reaction outside and inside, and which sets off the fusion reaction, which releases huge amounts of energy. There is no way yet to start a fusion bomb without using a fission bomb. There are ideas to use lasers and things like that, but this is a talk for the future. The American military has spent hundreds of millions, probably even billions of dollars trying to invent this, because whoever has one of these will rule the world, basically. So anyway, once fission fusion bombs are started, they get larger and more powerful because you don't need as much material. 1961, the Tsar bomb in Russia was the equivalent of 50 million tons of TNT. That's about 3,333 times as strong as the bomb on Hiroshima was. So the bombs we have now are far more powerful than the bombs we used to have. We have enough bombs on Earth now to destroy Earth thousands of times over. Okay, so we talked about how bombs destroy. Let's talk about how many bombs there are in the world. Which country do you think has the most nuclear bombs? Well, it's actually Russia. Russia has 7,500, America has 7,200, France has 300, China has 250, the UK has 215, Pakistan 100, India 100, Israel 80, and North Korea, we don't know, but probably about 10. That's a lot of countries that have nuclear bombs, of course. So why do they have them? Why do all these countries have nuclear bombs? Well, of course, the idea is mutually assured destruction. What does that mean? Mutually assured destruction means if you have a gun, I get a gun. If you shoot me, I'm going to shoot you. So you won't shoot me because you know I would shoot you. If you have a nuclear bomb and I get a nuclear bomb, you won't launch your bomb because you know I will launch my bomb. And I won't launch my bomb because I know you will launch your bomb. Mutually assured destruction means we won't launch our own weapons because we don't want to be destroyed. Okay? So this is the basic idea. Now, this works as long as regular governments stay in power, as long as they can control their military. What happens, of course, though, with terrorism or civil war? What happens in the future? Because these bombs are getting smaller and more powerful. What happens if a terrorist organization can get their hands on a bomb? The manufacturing, the plans of these bombs are kept very classified because they don't want people to make them. It's very difficult to make a bomb, to get your hands on this uranium. However, when countries collapse, like the USSR collapsed in the 1990s, when countries collapse, they lose track of some of their missiles. Some of Russia's nuclear bombs have actually disappeared. They don't know where they are. So if terrorists manage to get their hands on one of these bombs, which I'm sure is the goal for many terrorist organizations, what would stop them using one? The end of the world could happen not because of mutually assured destruction, but because of one group just deciding to launch it. Now, currently, nuclear bombs are the most powerful weapons we have on the Earth. However, humankind is always looking for more powerful and deadlier bombs. So, who knows what we're going to have in the future. However, to finish, from the Manhattan Project, one of the scientists was called J. Robert Oppenheimer. I think he was in charge of the project. And when the first nuclear bomb was tested, he quoted an Indian poet, and he said, "I am become death, the destroyer of worlds," which is very true. He had created the first weapon that could destroy a world, not just a few people. So now we have planet destroying weapons. What's going to happen in the future? I have no idea. Hopefully the world will see sense and we will start to cut back on nuclear weapons, but it doesn't seem to be happening. Anyway, thank you for listening. That was nuclear bombs. I hope you understood it. It was a little bit difficult to explain. Now you've finished listening to the talk, try the questions. If you click on the link below here in the description box, you can find questions for this talk. You can find essay questions, multiple choice questions. You can find sample answers. You can also find the transcript so you can read it. And you can download the MP3 if you want. If you practice your English, if you write, and if you listen, and if you read, and if you talk, your English will get better. Keep trying. Do your best. Thank you for listening. If you liked this, click like. If you want to share it, click share. If you want to subscribe, that button's over here somewhere, looks like my head. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. I will try and be back next week. Bye.